I'm sure many of you know that George Washington saw America invaded. But most folks haven't really understood that, I'm convinced. A few weeks ago, I felt the Lord impress me that George Washington's vision of an invasion from the East was happening with the Islamists coming into the United States, both with permission and illegally. I didn't really remember that vision good enough to confirm this to myself, but was so busy at the time that it took till today for me to actually look into it and see that, sure enough, that was a good word. In the full vision, which we have on our site, Washington saw two wars fought on U.S. soil, and both of these were fulfilled, the Revolutionary War and the Civil War. And this, of course, gives some credibility to the rest of the vision. In the last part of the vision, concerning these end times, the third invasion appears to have come, and its resulting war is going to come soon after. This may be the prophesied World War III at the beginning of the tribulation. Remember also that just after the white horse rider of the man-child ministry in Revelation 6 and 2 appears, which should be shortly, the second red horse rider that takes peace from the earth rides in Revelation 6 and 4. So we may be getting very, very close. The invasion is definitely happening. Just wanted to give you a little bit of proof of that today, but I'm going to share with you the third part there. This is George Washington's vision of the third and most fearful peril, quote unquote. Quote, "Again I heard the mysterious voice saying, 'Son of the Republic, look and learn.' At this, the dark, shadowy angel placed a trumpet to his mouth and blew three distinct blasts. And taking water from the ocean, he sprinkled it upon Europe, Asia, and Africa." And I do believe that God is bringing a jihadist invasion from these areas to make war in the U.S. now. "Then my eyes beheld a fearful scene. From each of these continents arose thick black clouds that were soon joined into one." As you might imagine, Islam could very well do if they wanted to take down the great Satan, right? "And throughout this mass there gleamed a dark red light by which I saw hordes of armed men." Well, red is alarm, right? Danger. "These men, moving with the cloud, marched by land and sailed by sea to America, which country was enveloped in the volume of cloud, and I dimly saw these vast armies devastate the whole country and burn the villages, towns, and cities which I had seen springing up." A prophet friend of mine, in Florida, shared a vision he had with me many years ago. He said, "The Lord took me to the streets of America, and I saw all the cities on fire. We have 8 million Muslims in America, and when the war breaks out in the Holy Land, and when America gets involved, 8 million Muslims will burn America down, or to the ground," he said. "I saw Muslim women coming into America, and in their inner body parts, vials of anthrax and biochemicals. I saw 180 million Americans die in 72-hour period. And then I saw New York, Florida, Nevada, Texas, and California nuked. We will be invaded. Russia and China will do this." Okay, And I do believe that this is a period of time, this prophet's revelation here, from the beginning, from just before the beginning of the tribulation to the end of the tribulation. And this last part, the invasion from Russia and China, comes at the end of the tribulation, especially with the nuking of a bunch of cities. I'm not saying there won't be some nukes thrown around even in America too, at this first war, but this one, I believe, comes at the end of the tribulation. Meaning, of course, there will be a battle during the tribulation with the Muslims taking out Christians, just as they've done in other countries that they have been loosed in. It's a pattern that's been going on, and it's no different than what's going to happen in America. He also spoke of many people being butchered, as we also have seen in dreams. He said, I saw from Kissimmee, Florida, to Miami, underwater, and then the Lord showed me portable buildings stacked like a train, all connected together. The buildings were full of people with legs and arms missing. He said, I ran into the buildings, and there was no end of the buildings. How could a, let me ask you, how could a flood cut off limbs, you know? I was wondering if could this water be an invasion of jihadists, who are famous for cutting off limbs and other things. But it reminds you of the saying, when the enemy comes in like a flood. And I've got a link here I'm probably going to post in this for some really good proof of this. But I wouldn't have time to go through all of this today. I believe the third war Washington saw has started with the Islamic jihadist invasion into the United States from Europe, Asia, and Africa for the purpose of making war on the people and making it a Muslim nation. Jade Helm just might keep the Christians in line while they do this dirty work. Examples of this invasion I'm going to give you. I don't agree with everything in these links that we'll post, but I believe that there is some truth in all of them. The first one I'm going to share is ISIS is streaming across the border as the Border Patrol is forbidden to detain them under threat of job forfeiture. And that's the Common Sense Show sharing that. And again, I don't agree with everything said, but the Texas Rangers are preparing for the ISIS invasion. I'll give a link for that. Also, I'm going to post this video by Avi Lipkin on March 26, 2015, and it speaks of Muslim radio stations repeating the Saudi demand to make America a Muslim nation. This supposedly was given to Barack Obama from the Saudis, but it was repeated several times. Avi's wife works for Israel, and she listens in to the Muslim stations and translates it for the Israelis. And I think she heard that three times on Muslim stations. And the plan was to bring tens of millions of Muslims into the United States to do this work. And also, on that video, there is mentioned the plot to destroy Israel and Iran by using them against each other, by kind of putting Israel in a corner and forcing them to lash out at Iran. Because, as you know, Barack Obama is Sunni, and so are the Saudi Arabians, and he has been fighting wars for the Saudi Arabians already. And the Iranians are, of course, their mortal enemies, the Shiites. And I do believe that Barack does want to do damage to the Shiites, just as the Saudis do. And, of course, the ISIS is Sunni, just like them. I mean, they were raised up by this administration and the Saudi Arabians. And as you can see, they're marching through the Middle East to destroy as many Christians as they can and as many of their enemies as they can, any kind of enemies. So what do you think they're going to be brought over here to do? Right? Same thing. And same thing that happened in Barack's country, Kenya. Unscreened Muslims are flooding into the United States with government permission by over 100,000 a year. That's not including those who are coming over the border while it's being held open. And I give a link for that. ISIS is in the United States by their own admission and planning attacks. And I give a link for that. And ISIS and Al-Qaeda and other Islamic jihadists are here to make war. And I give a link for that. I received a testimony from a woman who witnessed that large buses with whited out windows, kind of like Greyhound buses with whited out windows, were coming over the border with Homeland Security and its logo on the side of them. She decided to speak to one of the drivers at a stop who told her that he was transporting Muslims to cities in the United States. And I forget, I had another article also. I couldn't find this article when I went to look for it. So if any of you have it, you can send it to me. But also another article that the administration has chosen, I believe it was 126 or 123 cities in the United States to import the Muslims into. And anyway, ISIS claims it can smuggle nuclear weapons through Nigeria, which is a failed state, so that they can get away with it, and Mexico, and into the United States. I'll give a link to that. And some, like I said, some of these links probably have some goofy stuff in there, but there's also some proof. You just pick through it and ask the Lord, you know. The overwhelming proof is that we are being invaded. And it's been happening for a while, but it's getting worse. Nazi Germany's Night of the Long Knives reminds you of something, right? It took place in the time frame of Jade Helm. And I'll give a link for that. Consider my prophet friend's statement. We have 8 million Muslims in America. It's quite logical that there would be more than that now, because this was quite a few years ago. We have 8 million Muslims in America, and when the war breaks out in the Holy Land, and when America gets involved, 8 million Muslims will burn America to the ground. I ask, is it possible that there is a plan to distract America with jihadists while they also attack Israel? Well, it's very interesting. When I first heard about this, that Turkey's Erdogan and Davutoglu, their prime minister, have announced that they will unite the Muslim world to liberate Jerusalem. And, you know, when I first read this article, I thought, well, this is a very interesting time for this to happen. Also, it's not so shocking that Egypt is accusing Turkey of providing more than 10,000 Turkish passports to members of ISIS to facilitate travel of their fighters across the region. Isn't that interesting? Does it sound like there's some agreement here between Turkey and the United States? Maybe an agreement to rid the world of Christians and Jews. Is this the coming World War III that we've been expecting to bring in the New World Order tribulation? It's pretty interesting, getting very interesting. I'm sure hindsight will be very good. But right now, a lot of things are just kind of sticking out here to a lot of people. And it can't all be accounted for by paranoia, although there's plenty of that out there, too. So, anyway, back to Washington's vision. I just believe that the many links I have here will convince you that there is an invasion underway. It is planned. It is totally permitted by this administration, etc., etc. And Washington said, "As my ears listened to the thundering of the cannon, clashing of the swords, and the shouts and cries of millions in mortal combat, I again heard the mysterious voice saying, 'Son of the Republic, look and learn.' Where the voice had ceased, the dark, shadowy angel placed his trumpet once more to his mouth and blew a long and fearful blast. It's apparent that at this time enough repentance is given to America that God says enough, because he ultimately turns things around. I'm convinced that this turning around is not going to happen before many, many multitudes of people are dead and many cities are burned, shaken to the ground through earthquakes, etc. At any rate, it goes on, and this is the part where heaven intervenes and stops the total destruction of America. Let me say this. Babylon is going to be destroyed. The Bible says that. And, of course, we apply Babylon to America. So people automatically think that America is going to be totally devastated. Well, I would think it's pretty close to that. However, let me say that Babylon is a spiritual entity headed up by a spiritual principality that is ruling and has taken control of America. I believe that spiritual entity is going to be destroyed. Not the principality necessarily, but the influence of that spiritual entity in America will be destroyed through the great judgments that come that humble the people. Okay? And I'm not talking about just Christians. I'm talking about other people who would fear God, you know. So here, heaven intervenes. Instantly, a light as of a thousand suns shone down from above me and pierced and broke into fragments the dark cloud which enveloped America. At the same moment, the angel upon whose head still shone the word Union, and who bore our national flag in one hand and a sword in the other, descended from the heavens, attended by legions of white spirits. These immediately joined the inhabitants of America. Notice that, inhabitants of America. It doesn't identify them as Christian or non-Christian, just the inhabitants, okay? Who I perceived were well nigh overcome, but who immediately, taking courage again, closed up their broken ranks and renewed the battle. Well, we were told here that the inhabitants of America were warring with the invaders. And I prayed about this, and I felt the Lord was telling me that when the Christians fear God and start being a witness of true Christianity, God's purpose is being fulfilled. And the inhabitants of America, quote unquote, will begin to listen and be given victory by the Lord. I'll just read on. Again, amid the fearful voices, the fearful noise of the conflict, I heard the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." As the voice ceased, the shadowy angel, for the last time, dipped water from the ocean and sprinkled it upon America. Instantly, the dark cloud rolled back together with the armies. Notice that, the armies, not just one army, the armies it had brought, leaving the inhabitants of the land victorious. Now, this is not the first time I've heard this prophesied about the Muslims ultimately losing their battle, invading the United States and losing their battle and leaving. But this is a pretty good example. Notice the armies, plural, were fighting with the Americans. Notice in my prophet friend's vision that I just shared, the Muslims were later joined by the Russians and Chinese in the battle for America. It seems that this goes into the end of the tribulation and into the day of the Lord and ends at the millennium. In Ezekiel 38, the war of the northern army in verses 7 through 9 invade Israel. But then they get an evil idea comes into their mind, the Lord says, to invade the land of unwalled villages, quote unquote. Quote, having neither bars nor gates, unquote. Quote, against the people that are gathered out of the nations, unquote. Quote, that have gotten cattle and goods, unquote. Quote, in the middle of the earth, unquote. Now that's in verses 10 through 12. I pulled those quotes out because all of them were happening at this particular time. And I do believe that this describes America, not Israel. Israel is not known for having enough cattle to draw in these hordes of people to plunder. And it's not known for having unwalled villages. And it's not known for a lot of things. Or being the melting pot of the nations, which is what this describes. That all sounds like America, every bit of it. And I do believe that at that particular war, when the nations come against Israel, they are divided by the Lord, and they begin to fight with one another. And in chapter 38 and 39, the Russians and the Chinese invade both Israel and America, and eventually lose. If you want proof that Ezekiel 38 was after the tribulation, you can go to chapter 16 of Hidden Manna, subtitled, When is the Ezekiel 38 and 39 War? And you'll find out that this war happens in the great and terrible day of the Lord. The Bible's very plain where the great and terrible day of the Lord is. And it comes after the sun is darkened and the moon doesn't give its light. And that's what Isaiah said happened when Babylon was invaded. The great and terrible day of the Lord, Isaiah 34 and 8 says, is a year of judgment. A year of wrath. So the day of the Lord is not the tribulation period, very, very clearly. You'll find that out also in Hidden Manna for the End Times. Very, very well proved. So people say, oh, we're going to miss that day of the Lord. They're thinking that they're going to escape the tribulation period, and that's not so. The tribulation period is not the day of the Lord. The tribulation period is a trial for God's people. The day of the Lord is judgment on the people who persecuted God's people. They're two totally different situations. So what I'm seeing here is that this Muslim war against America is going to be joined when they're very weakened by the Russians and the Chinese, who will again battle against this nation. And I'll read on to the next part. It says, Then once more I beheld the villages, towns, and cities springing up where I'd seen them before. Now, I don't see anything like this happening until the millennium. And the people who survived the great and terrible day of the Lord rebuild. So, I'll read it again. Then once more I beheld the villages, towns, and cities springing up where I had seen them before. While the bright angel, planting the azure standard he had brought in the midst of them, cried with a loud voice, while the stars remain and the heavens send down dew upon the earth, so long shall the union last. And taking from his brow the crown on which was emblazoned the word union, he placed it upon the standard, while the people knelt down and said, Amen. So I believe that this rebuilding is what happens at the time of the Revelation millennium. Of course, people may have different interpretations for these things. The most important thing I want you to know is that I believe we've started into this war because the invasion is full-blown. And it's just really unbelievable to the border people that this is being permitted. It's not just being permitted, it's being planned. And America is going to be brought to a very, very low estate. So, number one, the Christians will repent and return to God and return to the Holy Word of God. And number two, even those lost in America will be humbled. I remember a time, not that long ago, but I've been a Christian for many, many years, and I remember a time when even people who were not Christians respected Christians for their stand and were careful what they said and did around them, and even asked forgiveness sometimes for things that they did around Christians when they realized that this person was a Christian. That's a person who is lost but humble to Christianity, not the mind of the beast ruling, you know. We're seeing the mind of the beast take over the world in hatred against Christianity, much like anti-Semitism did before. Matter of fact, we got a dream on our site. As it was with the Jews, so it will be with the Christians, right? So, it's true. I mean, that anti-Semitic and anti-Christian attitude that the world has is demonic. It's an outpouring of Satan's demons upon the earth. So, here's the interpretation that came with George Washington's dream. It said, the scene instantly began to fade and dissolve, and I at last saw nothing but the rising and curling vapor I at first beheld. This also disappeared, and I found myself once more gazing upon the mysterious visitor, who in the same voice I had heard before said, Son of the Republic, what you have seen is thus interpreted. Three great perils will come upon the Republic. And I didn't read to you the first two, I only read to you the third. The most fearful for her is the third. But the whole world united shall not prevail against her. Well, you'll notice the UN beast is united against her. It said the whole world united shall not prevail against her. The UN, which is going to devour the harlot and burn her with fire, according to the book of Revelation, right? Some people don't know it's the UN, it's all nations. The beast's seven heads and ten horns, the seven heads are the seven world ruling empires that conquered God's people and all of their seed down to this day. And the ten continental divisions ruled over by the ten kings that the Bible speaks about. The UN is a one world order. And this is who's making war. Not only all the Muslims, but the Russians and the Chinese at the head of the nations are going to do their best to destroy America. And as Dimitri Dudeman also pointed out. So you'll notice when he said the whole world united shall not prevail against her, that the beast, the UN, will war against her and bring much destruction, but ultimately lose. Actually, I think just about all nations will lose. I don't think anybody, any natural nation in this world is going to win anything. They're all going to lose. However, some of them will come out in one piece and some of them won't, right? When I say one piece, I'm not meaning without a lot of destruction, but at least that the union was preserved in some kind of way. You say, David, we don't have a union now. That's true. You're right. Absolutely. And but I tell you what, if people will repent, and I'm convinced that across Muslim lands in this world, this great devastation that's going to come upon them is going to bring many to repentance. And the same with America. Their vicious attack on America is going to bring a lot of fear of the Lord back to Christians who, in many cases, thought they were going to fly away and did not, found themselves in the hands of an angry beast, like Ivan Penin said. And so the angel went on to say, let every child of the Republic learn to live for his God, his land, and union. Union, of course, being peace with one another, right? Romans 12 and 18 says, if it be possible, as much as in you lieth, be at peace with all men. You know, people can get enough of war that they don't want to see it anymore. They are ready for peace. And as you know, the millennium will start with a semblance of peace. Not because they're saved people, but because they're totally tired and fearful of war. By the millennium, let me tell you, in the book of Revelation, by the millennium, all of God's saints will have a glorified body. They won't need this earth. But the people who live through the great and terrible day of the Lord will need a physical earth. And they will rebuild, according to the book of Revelation. But also, I want to tell you that there is not another salvation in the millennium for anybody else, because these people, Satan is bound up for 1,000 years, and there's relative peace because the Lord has reinstituted the law on the earth, and his saints are ruling with a rod of iron over the earth. Why is that? Unless the people have the capability of rebelling. Well, of course they do. They reign and rule with Christ for 1,000 years with a rod of iron. And at the end, the devil's released, and they all immediately follow the devil. What does that tell you? That they were lost? That they had the lost nature? That they proved that it didn't have anything to do with the devil? It had to do with their lost nature? They couldn't blame it on the devil, like Flip Wilson used to do. The devil made me do it. No, the devil made you do it because you had the devil in you, right? But what God's going to prove to mankind is that they can't blame it on the curse. The curse has been done away. They can't blame it on the devil. The devil's been done away. And suddenly when he's released, they immediately follow their father. Read it in the book of Revelation. None of those people are saved. They are going to have an enforced peace for 1,000 years, but they're not saved. And so at the end, at the time of the ark going up, 40 days into the great and terrible day of the Lord, it's the time of what people call the rapture, when Noah went up in the boat, which is the exact same time, if you'll go and read Hidden Manna, is the exact same time as the resurrection of the dead in the last few verses of the book of Daniel. Daniel was going to stand in his lot. He counted the number of days, the exact same number of days as in Genesis when the boat lifted off. Because 1 Corinthians 15 tells you that the resurrection of the dead, and then the rapture happen at the same time. So read that book. There's a lot there, not a lot of truth and understanding there about these end times, and including Ezekiel 38 and 39. We do have a war coming at the beginning of the tribulation period. We call on it World War III. We call the other one Armageddon, for lack of a better term, because it is actually the first world war. Armageddon is actually going to be the first world war. All nations are going to be involved in it. What this world war is going to be like last world wars. Many nations will be involved, but not all nations. But World War III is bringing in this new world order, just like world wars have brought in every new world order. It's history repeating. Well, it went on to say, with these words, the vision vanished, and I started from my seat and felt that I had seen a vision wherein had been shown me the birth, the progress, and the destiny of the United States. And then it says, such, my friends, the venerable narrator concluded, were the words I heard from Washington's own lips, and America will do well to profit by them. Well, okay. So there's another thing that is happening that I think is pretty significant, too. As you know, the two-state solution was that the Arabs and the Jews would share Jerusalem. Well, I'll just read you this one particular article I got. It says, colossal prophetic event has just happened, and it involves Jerusalem. It's about to get bumpy. Yep, sure is. And that's by Lisa Haven. Breaking news today, the U.S. Supreme Court now backs President Barack Hussein Obama's decision to not to include Jerusalem as part of Israel. That's dividing Israel, is it not? This is a major step towards the internationalization of Jerusalem and an even larger step towards the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Things are hitting high gear. So, I'm not going to read all of this because I don't necessarily agree with all of it, but this is an amazing development. They want to internationalize Jerusalem so that it can't be claimed by the Jews and can't be claimed by the Muslims, but is a city for all people, so to speak, which is contrary to God's plan and His command. And He warned us that those who divide Israel will be divided. And I take that to mean exactly what we've received in prophecies, and that is that earthquakes are going to rack the world because of this foolishness. You can't really blame the world, but it is God's plan, as we know, according to Zechariah 12, 2 and 3, the Lord said He would make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And He said He's going to make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all peoples. And that everybody that burden themselves with it will be cut in pieces. And all the nations of the earth are going to be gathered together against it. Cut in pieces? So anyway, we have many, many prophecies of when the world decides to divide Israel, which they are doing now. I'm not sure if this is when God's going to strike, or when the covenant, well, I'm talking about with the earthquakes, or closer to the covenant. But this could be why the earthquakes could come before the covenant is made, which we see in Revelation chapter 8, just before the first angel blows the first trump of the beginning of the tribulation period. An earthquake is mentioned. And what looked like warfare, you know, is mentioned there. And so this attempt to internationalize Jerusalem could well be what causes the earthquake to come before the tribulation covenant is made, which also divides Israel. I want to tell you, it's been quite a few years since I saw what they were doing to Jerusalem to prepare for this. Politics is just nutty. I mean, they act like they don't know anything's going on, but they've been dividing Jerusalem for a long time. They've done a lot of construction to put up walls, to change the routing of interstates. I think it's somewhere on our site, although I lose everything on our site. It's there somewhere. It's a big site. But, yeah, they've been preparing for this. They've known it was coming. And I've seen the pictures of the walls that were built. I've seen the pictures of the rerouting of the interstates in order to be able to divide the city. I've seen the pictures of all this. It was very, very plain. So why are they acting like that they're just doing this just now? It's been planned for a long time. The powers that be have already prepared for it. It's kind of like this invasion of America. It's been planned a long time. It's not a sudden thing. We've got prophecies about it. Now, we saw a few years ago that they reestablished the Sanhedrin in order to bring about a repetition of history. So, what can we say? We can say God is in control. He has done what he decided he would do. And here's something else that's coming, I believe. And the Ephraim Rodriguez revelation of an asteroid coming into the planet Earth, I believe I've seen three different asteroids hitting the United States. I've wondered if they didn't shoot at that thing and broke it up. Because the size of what it was speaking about would destroy planet Earth. But because I've seen that the demons, who people are calling the guides, have pointed out one east of the United States, farther north than Puerto Rico, where Efrain Gonzalez spoke of one. And then there seems to be one close to Ireland. And it seems to me like we're going to get hit by about three of these things. Virginia Boldia saw what she called comets because of their color. She thought it was three comets, but this would be the beginning of pain. Three comets. I don't think they're comets. I believe they're asteroids. So here's a very, very old prophecy that is reportedly came from St. Patrick, of the end-time flood of Ireland. Now, you know, they give you a picture of St. Patrick, but it's kind of like the picture of St. Peter. It's a bunch of baloney. Okay? They've Catholicized the poor guy, and I'm sure he's rolling over in his grave. But anyway, he says, a well-known prophecy of a nation being destroyed by tidal waves at the end time can be found in one of the earliest biographies of St. Patrick. These are the three prayers of Patrick as they were delivered to us by the Hibernians, entreating that all should be received on the day of judgment, if we should repent even in the last days of our life, and that he should not be shut up in hell, and that barbarian nations should never have the rule over us, that is Ireland, which has happened. I mean, it's so-called Christian nations are the only ones that have conquered Ireland. And that no one shall conquer us, that is the Scots, before 7 years previous to the day of judgment. 7 years previous to the day of judgment. Because 7 years before, I'm quoting it, because 7 years before the judgment, we shall be destroyed in the sea. This is the third. Okay, that was his third. And the prophecy can be traced back to original documents dating from the 7th century, so on and so forth, blah, blah, blah. It gives you a whole bunch of that stuff. The Scots here refer to the Irish people rather than the present sense of the term. And then there was Saint Columcille, I think is the way you pronounce it, who is also known by his Latin name, Saint Columba. He said, "I concede a favor to them without exception, that Saint Patrick also did concede the same, that 7 years before the last day, the sea shall submerge Erin," which is their word for Ireland, "by one inundation, by one inundation." In other words, one big wave was going to take Ireland out at the beginning of 7 years to the end. That's very interesting. We've been looking for that rock. Many people have seen it. Like I said, even the demons are pointing out that it's coming, and they, of course, tell you what they plan to do, but sometimes God says no, so it doesn't come to pass. So they're not very good prophets. But once in a while, they tell you what they're going to do, and it does come to pass because it's God's plan too. Okay? So this above prophecy that I shared is believed to be taken from a 9th century document titled Column Seal Succinct, or something like that. But so far, the earliest source can be traced back to is O'Kearney. It's on and on. I'm not going to go through all that. The prophecy of Ireland being destroyed by end-time floods, this the writer says here, is intimately related to the other material in public and private revelation, which tells of an eschatological inundation, and seems to be inextricably linked to the threat posed by the collapse of the volcano Cumbre Vieja. I don't agree with that. That's just one thing that's going to happen out there, and I think that this is going to be set off by the rock. Okay? That's my opinion. Okay? Into the Atlantic Ocean. And then have another post on Mega Tsunami, where I show how this event is connected with the Great Mountain burning with fire being thrown into the sea. Well, that's probably not right either. If the rock comes at the beginning of the 7 years, it couldn't be the burning rock falling into the sea. Okay? The burning mountain going into the sea. And as well as several other passages. As we can see from the diagram below, Ireland is one of the countries that would be most affected by a mega tsunami generated by the collapse of the Cumbre Vieja in the Canary Islands. But also, I just got to say that there's a rock there. There seems to be one north of there, and there's one down in where Ephraim spoke about it hitting, right? And I'm thinking there might be three of them. I'll read on. It says, "This would lead us to ask why Ireland seems to be the sole focus of the prophecy of St. Patrick. Why would, when there's so many other countries in even greater risk from this catastrophe? One explanation may be found in the fact that this prediction was made almost 1,000 years before the discovery of America." That's a good reason. "By the Europeans. And the other countries which will be affected by this disaster would simply have been unknown to the saint. According to Christian prophetic tradition, the tribulation period at the end time, which includes the reign of the Antichrist, will last for a total of 7 years. The fact that the prophecy of St. Patrick foretells that Ireland would be destroyed by the sea 7 years before the last day in order to spare Ireland from the reign of Antichrist, which is what he prayed for, right, before he got this, therefore suggests that the rule of this end-time tyrant will only take place after the catastrophic flooding caused by the collapse of the volcano Cumbre Vieja into the sea. However, looking at the comments that came in, I'm going to read John David Fagan's comment, he said, there is also the possibility of an asteroid impact causing a mega tsunami. Ephraim Gonzalez was shown by the Lord that such an event would take place just north of Puerto Rico, and it would destroy the coastal cities of North America, down to South America, and across to Europe as well, and so on and so forth. Here's their Facebook page. Well, I agree with that, except I think it's the rock that's coming north of the one that hits Puerto Rico. All three of these, or at least two of these, I think all three of these will hit the east coast of the United States. And I can't see that they would have missed by this much. It has to be three rocks. And I said about the first rock, it was too big by one revelation to hit there without totally destroying the earth. So I'm guessing, okay, so there's a lot of speculation here, but I think we got some big things coming before the tribulation. The earthquake that is mentioned there before the tribulation, the first trumpet starts, could very well be caused by this. Okay, so we'll see. We'll see how it all works out. Just wanted to share this with you so you could possibly find more information, and we'll put the puzzle together, right? Glory be to God. Well, Father, thank you for the warnings you've given to us, and we know that you do this in order so that people will fear you before judgment comes and hopefully repent before judgment comes. And, of course, we pray that too, Lord. We don't want to see these things happen, and we pray that you'll have mercy and a great, great revival will bring multitudes into the kingdom before they are killed. So, Father, we just ask you in Jesus' name, pour out your mercy and grace. Send your man-child Jesus to inhabit his first fruits and do his work on this earth, Lord, and to bring forth a great revival, including the two witness ministry and the bride's ministry and so on and so forth, Lord. These ministries that you're raising up, the John the Baptist ministry before those. Thank you, Lord, for these things. Thank you, Lord, for granting repentance. Thank you, Lord, for preparing us to prepare a revival. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to get our materials together and get ready, get the grain silos filled up, as you told us. Thank you so much, Father. In Jesus' name.